All right, I hope you got your Bible tonight. Psalm 84. There was a Church of God preacher in Fort Long down the road here, down Highway 9. And he died in the pulpit, right in the middle of a sermon. He just dropped. And people said, that was awful. I said, no, that's the way to go. Right. Amen. Yeah. Thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Psalm 84. I've been preaching out of Psalms now for several weeks. I'm going to keep it up until I run out of Psalms. But I was thinking today, I was sitting there thinking, I'm getting some age on me, you know, and I was thinking, since I've been preaching, I probably preached around just regular Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday nights, probably about 5,500 sermons, maybe closer to 6,000 if you count funerals and fellowship meetings and revivals. And that don't even count Sunday school. About 6,000 sermons. Wow. And I think I got about 2/3 of them in a drawer somewhere. So when I die, I ask my wife for them. She can, Terry, sell them for $1 a piece, okay? Sell my sermon for $1 a piece. Amen. $6,000. Amen. And if you take one down here to the Dunkin' Donuts, they will give you a cup of coffee and a donut with $4. Psalm 84. Now, before we read Psalm 84, I want you to know there are some psalms that are kind of heartbreaking. There are some psalms that are real uplifting. There are some psalms that are just about like a good song. But in this psalm, I want you to know that he is emphasizing the house of the Lord. Amen. Now, there's not much emphasis on the house of the Lord anymore. Everybody does their own thing wherever they want to do it. Had a man recently tell me that he goes to one of these, I don't have another word, hippie church. Okay, there's hippie churches, there's horse churches, they call them cowboy churches, and there's house churches, you know. So he was going to one of those flashing lights, rolling smoke, you know, and he just felt so bad because the COVID stopped it all. Because, you know, the younger generation, they're scared of this worse than we are. And so it's shut it down. Just shut it down. And he says still shut down. And they're not going to open it until some official comes out and says you can open now. But they're having house church. They call them cell groups or something. That I told him he needs to rename that, Brother Ed, because the people I preach to, if you say cell group, they think in the York County jail, you know. But they're groups, you know, they're cell groups and they all meet. He said, but it's been a blessing. He said, because we're really getting into the scriptures. We're really studying the scriptures. I said, well, what happened was you got rid of all that junk food, all that junk that you had going with it, and now you're in the book.
Amen.
And I said, now that'll help you. I said, but that's what church is supposed to be anyway. I said, they don't pay me to sing. They don't pay me to entertain. They don't pay me to host fellowships. They pay me to preach the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the house of the Lord is the place you ought to get to that you can be encouraged, convicted, converted, comforted, whatever, by the power and the presence of God. But that always comes by the word of God. Now, you can get worked up in a song, and I can get worked up in a song. I'll cry, you know. Sometimes they sing, I'll get a little teary, I'll get a little thump, you know. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. But if I'm going to storm hell on a corn silk, I need some Bible, amen? And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the psalmist, he is emphasizing the house of the Lord. The day we live in, they are de-emphasizing the house of the Lord. And so I thought this would be a good one to teach out of tonight. Okay, let's read it. We'll read the whole psalm to start with, and then we'll come back. There's only 12 verses, okay? How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Boy, if people get like this again. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. He's saying they're laying it up. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passes through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord of God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For in a day in thy courts, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Father, we ask you to bless the reading of your word tonight. Speak, Lord. Thank you. We got a place we can call the house of the Lord. And I'd rather be a doorkeeper here than anything anywhere else in this town. And look, Lord, there's a brewery up the street here. We used to call them beer joints, Lord. And those people think they're having a good time, but they've never felt your power and your presence. They've never felt your comfort. They've never even felt conviction, Lord. I pray you'd pour it on that place over there. And every time they go by here to get there, they'll get convicted. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I looked at Psalm 84, it begins by emphasizing the house of the Lord. Look at verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Look at verse 2. It's a place not only, well, verse 1 is a place of beauty, but look at verse 2. In verse 2 it says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. It's a place of worship. It's a place of worship. It shocks you how many churches are not places of worship now. Right. Amen. And then in verse 3, look at there. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself. Now, you got to remember the tabernacle, some of it was an outer court, didn't have a roof on it. And birds would make nests up there. And so that tells me that it's a nesting place. And you know what that is for us? I'm a little sparrow. I got settled here. This is tabernacle. I'm settled like that little sparrow. I done built me a nest. I ain't going nowhere. Amen. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, I was trying to teach my deacons how to call a pastor if anything ever happened to me, because I didn't want the same thing to happen here that's happened all over town. You know, a pastor died, they don't know what to do. So as I was teaching them, Brother Tommy, some of y'all didn't know Tommy Owens, he was one of our deacons. Tommy looked at me and said, Pastor, we've been talking about this now for 3 classes. I said, yeah. He said, are you planning on going somewhere? I said, yeah, heaven. I said, you ain't got to worry about me. You're going to have to run me off. I'm not leaving. I said, my next trip is straight up. I'm not starting another church. This is it. Amen. But he said, well, I was worried about it. I thought maybe you was teaching us how to call a pastor and you was going to leave. I said, no, I ain't going nowhere. I found a nest right here. Amen. And I wish more people would. Have you ever noticed how people are flutter from one place to the other? They'll just flutter. They'll go over here a little while and the preacher will hurt their little feelings. Then they'll go over there and they'll go over there and somebody will look at them crooked. And then they'll go over there, you know, and they'll go over there and somebody won't shake their hand, you know, and they'll go over there. And they remind me of those birds that lay their eggs on the ground. You ever notice these birds that, what do you call them things?
Killdeer.
And they're fluttering about every time you come up. Of course, they don't want you to find the eggs, but they don't have a real nest. They don't have real nests. They don't build their nests in a tree or up high. They lay their eggs on the ground, and then to get you to not to step on them or eat them or an animal do it, they'll distract you. They'll just make all kind of like they hurt or something, and they'll fly over here and fly over there. That's where a lot of Baptists are. They're just fluttering around. They ain't got no nest. Amen. And so in verse 3, he says that he found that they found a nest where she may lay her young, even thine altars. Done altars. This place has an altar. So that tells me it's a place of sacrifice. This place has an altar. We don't do blood sacrifices, but we do present our bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. And we lay our children on the altar. We lay our grandchildren. And they may not be here. We may do it, you know, for them, but we lay them on this altar. We lay our troubles on this altar. We lay our tears on this altar. And that's what a house of God is, a place of sacrifice. It has an altar. You show me a church without an altar, and I'll show you a church that's dead as 3 o'clock. And then verse 4, he says this, and I'm getting them a sermon. Blessed are they that dwell in the house. They will be still praising thee. So that tells me it's a continual place of praising. It's a continual place of dwelling. It's not a place where you go just when you get sick, or a place where you go when you get in trouble, or a place you go, you know, when you can't pay your bills no more. You know, it's shocking how many telephone calls we get. Do y'all buy Christmas presents? And I used to be nice to those people and try to go meet them and stuff, but they don't want to talk to me. They want the church to buy Christmas presents. Yeah. And I used to do that. But that they all know each other, by the way. Because when I told that last one off, I hadn't had a call since. It's the truth. She said, "Do y'all do Christmas?" That was the question, just ordinarily. Hey, Pastor Ron Ronnie, Cornerstone Baptist Church. Hey, do y'all do Christmas? I said, what? Do you give away toys? Do you do Christmas? I said, we can't do Christmas. Christmas was done over 2,000 years ago. Amen. We just celebrate his birth every year, that's all. And no, we don't give away toys. But if you need something to eat, come on over here. I'll get you something to eat. But you're going to have to come to church. When you put that on there, you got to come to church. It's over. But thank God there's some that they can, it's a continual dwelling place. Amen. And I like it when people come here and say, "Preacher, you can't run me off. Just I'll be the last one out the door." I like that. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, I ain't at my sermon yet, okay? Verse 5. Look at verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Now, did you know in the house of the Lord there's blessing and there's strength? And the strength is the blessing. See, God gives us strength for every mile, every trial, all these things. But if you ain't got enough faith to go to church every once in a while, I wouldn't look for any strength to advise you, because that's the reason you're weak.
Right.
Amen. You're disobedient to God. Yes, I said that. You're disobedient to God. You won't go to church. And yet, who's the first people you call when you go to the hospital? The church. Who's the first people you call when you go to down there to the mortuary? Somebody's died, you know, or got to have a funeral. The church. Who's the first person you call when you got financial troubles and all this stuff? But you won't be faithful to church. You don't have any strength. So you know what happens? You have to live off of our strength. Amen. Amen. That's mean, preacher. I know it. I know it's mean. I can't help it. Listen. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca made it a well. The rain also filleth the pool. Now, I read up on that place, Baca. It was a wilderness. It was a wilderness. And so this represents a hard time, a place when you're in a hard place, a hard time. Yeah. Valley of weeping. Man been reading his Bible over and he's quit that. He'll know more than I do. But you get in that hard place, you know where you ought to run to? The house of the Lord.
Amen.
You'll run the house of the Lord and lay it down on an altar and say, "God, I ain't going to be able to make it through this if you don't help me." Now, I know you can do that at your house. I know you can do that out there in your car. But Jesus died for the church.
Amen.
Jesus, and he said, forsake not the assembling together.
Right.
And so you come down here to get strength. You come down here to get grace. You come down here to get mercy and peace. And the people here are for you. Nobody here is against you. They're all for you. Why in the world would you go to the beer parlor where they don't give a hoot about you? Why? Hey, why don't you run down to the house of God where people care about you? They'll bring you more soup than you can eat. Amen. They'll bring you some kind of Yankee dish. I don't know what they fix. And probably leg of lamb or something. I don't know. All we got is leg of chicken around here. We did you fix him something good? Jeffrey, I know you fixed it. Chili, glory to God. You ain't going to get up that up there at the beer parlor. Right? Amen. Let me tell you something. When you get in a hard place, you better have a church.
That's right.
You better have a church. You need a church when you're in a hard place. Amen. Boy, you don't know how good it's been to me. And that valley, think about this. That valley is temporary. He said passing through. Passing through. That valley's temporary. And let me tell you what you can do passing through that valley. While you're going through the valley, head down to the house of God. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to thee. Get down there where others can pray for you and pray with you. Get down there where it says, where two or three gather together, He'll be in the midst. Get down there where He says, if you'll agree touching something, it'll be done in heaven. Get down there to the house of God. Amen? Get down there. Well, that's temporary. And I'm going to tell you something. If you go through that low place, that valley, that weeping place, that hard place without the church, it's going to be a whole lot harder. I'm telling you. Well, I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over. My family, deaths, trials, trouble, tribulations, church show up. I remember one time, half of Independent Bible Baptist Church was sitting in my living room one time. Half of them was. And it blew my mind. I'd never seen a church like that. Most churches that I had known were like clubs. You go there on Sunday and that's it. You know. But thank God you got a good church. But it's temporary when you got a good place, when you go to the house of God. And then only that, did you know, it says it right here, He'll make a hard place into a well. He'll make a hard place into a well. Where at? Down there at the house of God. This is where you get water at. The water of the Word, the water of life. This is where you get refreshed from the waters, the fountains that never run dry. Amen? Come on, help me here. Am I preaching to the choir over here? You know, listen, He'll make a hard place into the well in His house. And then look at verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand.
Yes.
A day in thy courts is better than a thousand.
Amen.
Now, if you'll get down there to that well and you'll be faithful to the house of God, God will make your bad days shorter and your good days longer.
Yes.
And even if it ain't, it'll feel like it's longer.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Brother Tony, he's always kept boys. He might have six or eight boys at one time living with him. Troubled boys. He'd get him money for it. The parents that, you know, drug addicts and, you know, alcoholics and all this stuff. And they wouldn't send him no money. So he went to food closets and clothes closets and things like that. And he would get food and clothes for those boys, and he'd let them live in his house. He told me today, he said, Brother Ron, I had to send all of them but two home. He said, the age is catching up with me. He said, I'm tired. He said, I've had low places, you know, where I could go two or three days and be low and get over it. He said, but I just can't get over it no more. I'm not refreshed like I used to be with these boys. He said, I'm afraid I'm going to kill them. He said, so I sent him home. Well, I'm sure he wouldn't do that, but sometimes we all feel like that in life. You know, we get in a low place.
Yeah.
It gets dark and lonely. And that ain't the time to stay away from church. That's time to go to church.
Yes.
Amen. Why is it that in times of trouble, when you need help the most, you run away from the place and the people that would encourage you. I went to people's houses and told them that. He'll make it a well by you being faithful.
Yes.
If you're faithful. By the way, you being faithful, you'll be the help in that well when somebody else needs it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I always tell people, you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who, people just speak to you in passing and you don't know what you're doing in their life. And then all of a sudden you quit church and they're still coming and they say, well, where'd they go? Where'd they go?
Yeah.
And then, in verse 9, he says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Did you know that it's a place that we can find strength by looking on the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
What's that song? I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah. I'm a message from the Lord. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. What would we do if we did not have a church to go to where we heard about Jesus, where others talked about Jesus, where others lived for Jesus? You wouldn't last long out there. And I know you've all heard the story, but there's an old story, you know, pastor went to visit one of his members, lived in an old log cabin, had a fire going in his fireplace, and while he's talking to the man's been out of church a long time, he gets the fire poker, you know, and pulls one of the little embers out there on the bricks by itself, and they get talking back and forth, and the man looked at him and said, preacher, why do I need the church? He said, you need the church, same reason that little ember right there needs that fire. And it was going out. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, look at it. It's going out. Without all those other embers, this thing's going to die.
Yeah.
And if you don't get back down to the house of God, you're going to spiritually die. You need everybody else.
Right.
We're in this thing together. Amen?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. No man's an island, the Bible says. And then look at verse 5 again, verse 5 and 6, and I'm just about through. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also fills the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion. Appear before God. Did you know that the house of God is a place of strength?
Yes,
it's a place of strength. Now look at verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You'll find a shield, a buckler, you'll find strength, and you'll find the place that you need to go so that you can stay right with God, and God will not withhold any good thing from those who are right with God. And I know that's not popular preaching anymore. They say nobody's right with God, but I got news from you, to you. God's got some children. God's still got some children.
Amen.
There's some people right with God.
Amen.
And God blesses them. And God takes care of them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I got news for you. You'll find good in the house of the Lord. Now, I know there's churches that fight and fuss. I know they are. They are. I've been in them. They fight and they fuss and grumble and complain and backbite and gossip and all that. But if it's happening here, I don't know it. And I'm usually the last one to hear it. That's the truth. But let me tell you something. If we all stay thoroughly right with God, God blesses this place.
Amen.
I mean, no division, no backbiting, no gossiping or critical spirits and all that stuff. God blesses people like that.
Amen.
He won't withhold good stuff from us. And by the way, how do you think that we've been in this church now going on 14 years and never owed a dime to a soul? Yeah. How you think we've been here all this time and God's took care of us? We've never wanted for not one thing. Not one thing. Amen.
Amen.
Because there's some people that's right with God in this church. That's why. And God won't withhold good from a church like that. He'll do what we need. Amen. And look, I don't know everything, but I know this. if I seek the Lord with all my heart, and I go down to the house of God, and I lay myself on the altar, and I say, God, here I am. I ain't much, but it's me. You're the one that chose me. You're the one that called me. Now, God, you're the one that's got to make me a good Christian. You're the one that's got to keep me right with God. And, God, I need your help. As long as you'll help me, I'll do what you tell me to do. And then David said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken. And I've not seen his seed begging bread. Amen? Amen? We ain't never had a stinking donut. Well, we probably did at first. When we first started, we had teenagers. They wanted to sell stuff and build us a sign. So I think they had a yard sale or something and built our first church sign. Other than that, I don't think we've ever done much. But I'll tell you this, if people get thoroughly right with God, they pray, God takes care of them. Y'all know I used to sell mostly life insurance and all over the state of South Carolina, but mostly in Chester County. And I think town is 80% black in town. Most of my clients were black. And I'd go in there, and every once in a while I'd go in, and I'm thinking of one particular old lady, old black lady. She was in her, I say old, here I am 66, and I'm calling somebody 75 old. But this old black lady, you know, I pulled up, and she was on my book of business, you know, and I went to see her, and I pulled up in the yard, and there's old pulpwood truck in the yard. Y'all know what pulpwood is, don't you? I mean, you're not that citified, or you know what a pulpwood truck is, right? You get behind one, got them long logs on it, okay. And, they make pulp out of that wood. To make paper at the paper mill. And she's got one sitting in the yard, you and her son's out there, and he's about shallow, you know what I'm saying? He's not real smart, but he can cut pulpwood and sell it, praise God, amen. So, I go up to her steps, and she didn't really have steps, she had cement blocks. Cement blocks, just stacked up, just old, you know. So I went up about 4 or 5 cement blocks, and when I stepped on the porch, I could feel it give under my feet, you know. And then I knocked on the door. She let me in the house. Went in this little old room. She had a little living room about big as that little place right there. And had about a 42-inch screen TV on the wall. You know. And so I get talking to her. And she dipped snuff. She had snuff running down. You know, she dipped snuff. It ain't that bad. It's better than drinking liquor, you know. And so she got a little snuff running down, you know. And after I get sell her some life insurance on her boy, you know. And I can't remember her name. I'll call her Miss Mamie. I said, Miss Mamie, do you go to church anywhere? Oh, yes. Yes, I go to church over here at the Glorious Fire Baptized Holiness Church of God in Christ. You know, they got the big long names. I said, do you know the Lord? Oh, I know Jesus. Yes, Jesus is a friend of mine. I talk to him all the time. And she got talking about the Lord. And me and her had such a good time. And let me tell you something. Her house, you probably couldn't sell it for $200. Probably couldn't get $200 out. But that woman was as happy. She was as happy. And she knew the Lord. She knew him. And you know what? By all appearance of her and her son, they never missed a meal. They probably had a few extra. Amen? Amen? Let me tell you something. If you'll get thoroughly right with God, go to the house of God, try to serve him in some way, be honest with him, tithe, do what you're supposed to do, God will take care of you. He will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. He'll guide you, he'll shield you, he'll supply your every need from his riches in glory, and then some on top of that. And you can go to heaven shouting instead of whining. Amen. And they won't have to drag you out to heaven. You'll be glad to go. Amen? Poor little old Judy, my sister. I know I've told this story 1,000 times, but they told her she had a bad heart, you know. And I went in there that day. She said, Wani, did you hear? I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus. They told me I was going to see Jesus. She was in that wheelchair. I said, well, I know you are, Judy, when it gets time. She said, no, doctor told me it's time. I'm going to see Jesus. A couple of days later, she went to see Jesus. They didn't have to drag her out. She was living in a nursing home, but she was happy. She was happy. that couldn't read or write. She just learned how to read her name and write just a little bit when she was 55 years old. She wasn't sad. She was ready to go, looking forward to going. Sad because she couldn't go to church. Wanted to go to church. Now that's what the house of the Lord would do for you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for encouraging us a little bit tonight, Lord. I know I kind of jumped around scattered, but Lord, I pray you'd use it. Bless us. Go with us in this world, Lord. We're in a mess down here, God. But God, we're going to try to walk uprightly. We're going to try to be right, God. Help us. Help us, Lord, that they might see Christ in us, the hope of glory. God, help us to talk right. Put a guard at our lips. We wouldn't say anything we shouldn't, but give us holy boldness to preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, we want to quit talking about other stuff. Talk about Jesus. He's our president. He's our secretary of state. He's the vice president. He's everything, God. Help us, Lord, as we go out of here this week. And help us be faithful to the house of God that you've given us. Lord, you gave us a good place. You give us some good people here, Lord. These are faithful people. Bless them. And then coming this Sunday, God, would you meet with us? Would you meet with us, Lord? Come down in power and presence. Let us feel your presence. Let us see your work. Save somebody. Reclaim somebody. Bless your saints, God. Fill us with your Holy Ghost. Let us leave out here Sunday saying, man, that has been good to be in the house of the Lord today. So much they want to come back. Nobody have to beg them. They'd want to come back. And in our nation, God, would you revive us again? I'm talking about our churches in our nation. Revive us again, Lord. Send your Holy Ghost power down on us again. God, this is the only hope for the world. America's the only hope for the world. God, without us, the gospel printing machines are going to shut down and the missionaries are going to stop going and the Bibles are going to stop being printed, Lord. Please, please revive us again. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Get your hymn book and turn to 300. And you might have to...